Welcome to Talking Comics. We have Doug Marqueta with us. This is pretty cool. Before we jump into your the comic and stuff, tell us about yourself and your background.
Well, Doug Marqueta here. I guess you might know me from being a judge in Fortune, Fire, and History Channel. I am a Filipino martial artist, a Kali, edge impact weapon specialist. That is really my passion. But that's what also got me into doing designing knives, designing a lot of different kind of blades with, you know, K-bar and box knives, all that. It is my cycle of knife. I am also I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran. I was in for 8 years, and then I became a respiratory therapist for 21 years. But I never gave up on my passion on Filipino martial arts. So with that, I continued teaching, and before you know it, I became a military combatives contractor, and then I was offered a job on Fortune Fire because of my weapons experience. And today, I am here to tell you that I have ventured into the comic book verse.
That's awesome. Do you have a copy to show off with you?
Oh, I sure do.
Awesome.
That's awesome. My comic book right there. That's issue one of Lineage. And we're kind of Lineage there. And this is my story that I wanted to share with everyone to tell the story because it's connected to a blade. This is a story where if you really go into the story and everything else, you just realize that after you're reading it, you realize, wait a minute, it's the blade that's telling the story. So it's not, you know, the stories are all told from the point of view of the blade. And the blade is very special because it has a soul in it that's housed within this blade, and that it is all bearing witness to what's going on while it's in this blade. And eventually, the blade, like everything else, dies, and its soul will be reincarnated into another blade in a different era, another time to continue its story. Hence, Lineage, because we will trace the blade's lineage all throughout history and time. And that is where I realized that every blade has a story to tell. And that's all what Lineage is about.
Wow, that's a really cool concept and, you know, way to present that. That's amazing. What gave you that idea? How'd you come up with that?
Well, first up, when I was being a judge in Fortune Fire, a lot of bladesmithing, they put their heart and soul into a blade. And we study all different iconic weapons from all over history that you start to realize in different cultures, they all have stories. The Sword of Persia, Excalibur, all these things have a story to them. Every flag, a lot of flags all over the world have a blade on it or a sword in it. It's very symbolic. It is something that people wear as a status symbol. Yet it is also one that they create for war and destruction. But yet it's what we use every day to feed ourselves, cut our meat, cut stuff to build. The blade is nothing more than a tool. But there is also something to be said that I wonder what happens if a blade ever had a chance to talk back to its creator, the bladesmith, right? So I said, there's something there to be told. But here's the thing. As a Filipino martial artist, going back to the Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, all these training things of my system always had the blades as something in the higher levels as mysticism. There are blades back there. My teachers, who are very skilled in the weapons and deadly with the blades, actually practice some sort of black magic with the blades. Different system grandmasters all have and wear some kind of amulet. I go, what? To protect you from what? Oh, evil spirits and the blade. And all blades have different kinds of special powers within them. As a Westerner, I had a difficult time accepting this. But these are learned men that I respect. There is no reason for them to try to fool me, right? And they truly believe in it. You see it in their eyes. And with that, many stories about the different blades that had powers and all these omens and all these other things that, you know, are related to the blade, stories passed on to us as students. And I pass it on to my students and seminars and my colleagues. So eventually, this story has been going on for 15 years that we tell in the fireside in our chats. My training was 6 hours long, and, you know, we train in drumming music and in the dark and moonlight. So many ways, it's kind of cultish, right? There's a cultish behavior there. But in the end, there was a story to tell, and I wanted to tell that story. Why? I am in the last quarter of my life. And now it's time for me to leave everything that made me shine, whether it be the martial arts that I do. I teach seminars now to leave it all behind, record everything, whether it be my designs. I try to get a lot of my this year alone. I think I'm releasing 10 designs.
Knife design. OK.
Yeah. Knife design. Awesome. You know, so I'm releasing those. And of course, I wanted to also find a way to give back to my following. Those who made me shine. At first, Lineage was to tell the stories because this was something that I wanted to write for my great-great-grandchild. Well, turns out that the word lineage kept on going back and back and back because I want my grandchild, I'll never meet him. I'll be gone by then. They go, hey, you know this really awesome series? It was written by my great-great-great-grandfather. But when we decided to go with Kickstarter and use crowdfunding, you can actually have your names forever printed on all the issues. So I go, no, this is not my lineage. This could be your lineage too. If you support this, your name will forever be here. But wait, there's more. Every character of my designs from this series are actual blades that are functional. This is a karambit. This is the real blade. Of course, we dressed it up in terms of putting the what you can see right there, right? At first, when the artist drew that, I'm like, well, what is that? Is that a crocodile scale? No, it's actually stick men holding hands, passing down their lineage. And that's an actual tattoo in the Philippines. I'm like, wow, I didn't see that. But this one is actually made from a tactical version, a real version of the functional karambit. And issues 2-4, my designs are coming out. This is my tactical tomahawk. That's a real tomahawk based in combat that we use and I teach. Also, you start to see my other design that's out. It's called, this one right here is the Battle Bowl. It'll also be an issue 2-4. So what I'm doing here is that I'm creating something here that you can actually hand down to your own descendants. So I would love to see somebody goes, hey, you know, this lineage and everything else. Go to the last page. You see that guy right there, John Smith at number 15? That's my great-great-grandfather. And aside from handing me down this signed copy from the creator of it, I got to inherit these blades that are part of the story. So now you are, it's just not a comic book anymore. It's got a soul to it, just like there's a soul in the blade. You're actually handing this down as part of your lineage. So there's so much intertwined with that one thing. I finally found a way to connect with my followers or fandom or whatever and give them a part of this. You know, I said this actually, and it's not fair, but it was just the idea. I said, you know, if George Lucas ever had the chance when he started the Star Wars series to say, hey, if you sign up, I'll put your names in there. He didn't do that. What about Game of Thrones when he did that? They didn't do that. Not fair, because there was no crowdfunding at that time.
Right.
But there is today, and I can, and I will, and I am. I'm doing this. I can take you along with me on my journey, because some of the people here actually start, because when I got that idea, are putting the names of their grandkids who are still 7, 8 years old. They're like, why? They'll eventually become adults. And who knows, when we have this whole community, one day when I'm dead and gone, when the writers and everything are all gone, they'll pick up the mantle and continue the story. It continues. It doesn't end with us. It shouldn't end with us. It continues on because it's our lineage, not mine.
That is something that I think that I've done with my kids. I've really tried to. I lost my father when I was 15. So, but I learned a lot from my father, obviously, you know, formative years, 0 to 15. But he had a very, you know, crazy past from his, he was born in Germany during World War II and immigrated over here after the war. So, I mean, he had a lot of like his lineage is really tied to history. You know, that you learn every day. And I've really tried to do that with my kids by, you know, traveling and taking them places and teaching them. And it's, I don't think a lot of parents do that, or, you know, they don't think about their lineage or their, so, I mean, I love the concept and just thinking how I could do more of this with my kids now.
Well, I just gave you the answer,
right?
You can be part of this. It's that whole thing. You don't have to be like, well, I'm not a writer. No, anyone can do this. Just jump in.
Yeah.
Now we're going to create a community that later on, one of the books, this is only book one, which is 4 issues. It's Brotherhood of the Blade. It's about my experiences in the Philippines. I go back to my culture. my blade training, my martial arts and everything else. But book two will be in a different country, a different thing that all of us have a chance to be part of it. One of the books I'm thinking of is going to be created by our community.
Well, that's awesome.
We'll have everyone who's part of it. So I'm like, okay, who are you? Well, you know, I'm a chef and, you know, I don't really know the martial arts and everything. Well, Mr. Chef, do you use a knife? Yeah. What do you think the knife's witnessed? What has it done in your life? Any one of us can pick up the mantle and continue on. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be, you know, you can just jump in and make it yours.
Exactly.
Very few actually allow them into that world.
I have a friend that's a chef. I'm going to send this episode to him as soon as as soon as it comes out. When does book two come out? Or when are you starting that?
Well, we have to finish 2 to 4. That's why we're doing Kickstarter.
Okay.
Issue one was just an introduction to seeing if the story would take a liking to people. We did. Now we want to finish it from 2 to 4. And that's why we're doing the Kickstarter program. We want to get there. We're doing a lot of add-ons. Like I said, originally we have all, you know, the metal cards, the metal cover, the foil cover, the different covers, different arts. But then I want more. So we have this version of this. We have the pendant version of the blade.
Wow.
Part of that. Because, you know, we're very proud of the things that we have. And all the trainer version. I'm already looking forward to the future of this in cosplay. Because when you see all the characters found in the comic book and you get to delve into learning how to use it, I'm teaching seminars on how to use this because, you know, I'm a martial artist. So when you see all that, you start to realize that there's more to a comic book once you start to actually be part of it. You have the very pieces that are real. You have the very pieces for cosplay or for training. It's all part of it. So that's what I'm excited to do. But in order for me to create all this, I need to know their support for it. And I don't ask anything for nothing. I give back. And just the fact that I invite you to be part of this whole thing, I could have funded this myself and some of my partners, right? But no, then that's me just doing it for myself. How am I involving this with my fans or the followers of the comic book? How am I involving everybody to make this their lineage? So that was the idea behind this.
When do you launch the second Kickstarter? Do you know?
We've launched it. We've got about 6 days to go.
Okay, awesome.
I'm going ready.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's for 2 through 4 or just issue 2?
For 2 to 4.
Two through four.
All
right. I will find it and I will look at that and get it in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. What advice would you give aspiring creators? Like us, I created a comic book. I was jealous doing all these interviews. I was like, I really wanted to learn how to do a comic, like make a comic, how the process worked. And I've just finished it. I literally printed my comic last week.
Nice.
So I have, you know, I was really also looking through your comic and the stuff that Jeff sent me. You have 7 covers, which was awesome because I have 7 covers. So don't make me feel bad about having 7 covers anymore. So I was like, okay, I'm not the only one that went crazy on the covers. But what would you give people that want to do something like this? What kind of, you know, advice would you give?
Believe in your story. Believe in your story. Don't let anyone else tell you that you can't. Believe in it. Do it. Read it. Be excited about it. People will say, no, no, no. It doesn't matter what they say because if you believe in it, that's all that really matters. I've seen my story in my mind's eye so many times and I believe in it. And yeah, when I invited the writers to come help it, it only made it better. But it was never this idea that I would say, oh, I don't know if people will like it. No, the most important thing, I like it. And I'm going to put it out there because I want to share it. And as long as you are proud of it and you want to share it, do it. Find every way. There is no reason today with technology and what's available to us to make comic books that you can't do it on your own. We have apps right there that can make comic work for you. ChatGPT, if you really can't write or spell,
right. But
you can do it. You can do it. You know, I mean, feel like a child again. You know, when we were young and innocent, how when we created something for ourselves, we were so proud of it, and nobody would laugh whether you're colored out of the lines or anything. You were just so proud. Then later on, we met adults, and people were putting things in our head. It's not good enough and everything. And all of a sudden, we lost our confidence. Well, do it like a child. Do it because we like it. And that's all that matters.
Just end the show right there. Like, what more is there to talk about? No, that's awesome. So go into the partnerships of getting authors and artists or writers and artists on board. How was that process? How did you find them?
Once I found a partner that we said, we want to make this comic, make a comic book. I reached out to a friend of mine and I told him about my idea. And he goes, I happen to know guys who make comic books who are also very much connected to the Filipino culture. And that was Kid Heroes. Because my first book that I wanted to do on the Blade story in the saga, I wanted to write about what I know. That's one of the things being a public speaker and inspirational talk and all that is talk about what you know, you can never go wrong.
Right.
So I did that and I found these guys and they had two amazing writers that I gave them the outline of my work, but they made it flow. I was never into the comic books. Growing up in the Philippines, I couldn't afford them. Now I migrated to the U.S., totally different world. Now I have the means to do it. So they educated me on how comic book writing happens. But I also allowed them to make this their story. You see, I know that about martial arts. It's never just mine. They see two heads are better than one. I got five heads on this whole comic book myself. And later on, when we have a community, we'll have thousands of heads. How can we go wrong? You have that many ideas that are in there. I am confident enough to know that my outline is great, but I want them to complement it. I don't go to a plumber for dental work. I go to a dentist. So in the same thing, these are the masters. They're the writers. I go to the artist. This is his realm. He knows how to write the things and draw it all out. So we go back and forth, but I usually tell them, go first. And then when you put it in there, if it speaks to me, great. But so far, it's done nothing but completely complement what was already created. That's why I know I'm very blessed. But it was always a great comic book to begin with anyways, a great story. So exactly. I knew. I've been doing it for 15 years. Everyone I've told it to always said, wow. I've always had the wow factor. So right. I was never at one point in doubt. Remember this. By the way, this was presented while I was in Fortune Fire to my producer. He heard my stories. He goes, my God, this should be a TV series. And then COVID hit. And then we had problems with the film industry and everything else. I said, I better put this in writing somewhere before I leave this world. But I already knew. We knew of all the possibilities and what a great story this can be. Or the great saga it could be. But the difference between movies and TVs is that it's directed. They can do whatever they want. It's never the original. Now, everybody says, books, no one can ever, ever beat your imagination. But comic art, I can influence you to see things that I want you to see that nobody else will. Because a picture does 1,000 things. And a picture can be seen over and over and over. Depending on who's seeing it, they'll see different things. That's the magic of comic books. It used to be all oral history. Then we started drawing on the caves. Well, now we have comic books that actually put this. The beauty of this is the magic of my artist. There are a lot of Easter eggs in here. I didn't even ask for that. He started putting all these hidden meanings in there. So I had to talk to him and go like, we're going to have a talk. You're going to explain to me how you drew this. What's in your head? Well, in the beginning, and he's putting all the sound effects. It was amazing. But then the little things that I never asked for, he put in there. When I, for example, the villain right here, right? He was written in as a big, muscular bad guy. He put a mask on this guy. And the mask that he put on this guy was actually one of the Filipino water buffaloes that's very known to our country. And he put a skull instead of the actual, face of the water buffalo. And that was meaningful. He goes, because it is a symbol of strength of our people, a workhorse, but in the shadows, it looks like a demon. And it's just a mask, or is it? So he put a lot of the culture in there. I was shocked. The story, as this is told right here, this is still art in the beginning, right? Now, when you look at the comic book, every time it is in red and black, it is the blade that's talking. So that Easter egg right there. And you'll find out later when you start to realize, oh, wait a minute, it's the blade that's talking. But when he created this as still art, you know, when you have like fruit and everything else, right here, you will see the blade right there that's telling the story. The mask that was part of the story. Two foreshadowing figures there that in Filipino paintings are considered our ancestors. Were these the brothers of the story? And then an urn of ashes. And then you have a skull and then a flickering candle. Now, in the beginning, we were trying to make it very Shakespearean and poetic. And this is what the blade here says. If only you could see through the edge of my existence. In the hands of a child, I danced through terror, yet felt the weight of shadows where hearts stood still. In the quiet moments, I longed to be heard sharp as a blade, but a keeper of tales untold. In the hands of the brave, truth in the shadows dwell. Comes a tale where every blade has a story to tell. Poetic. Beautiful.
Very beautiful.
But when you look at the picture and the way, and I didn't understand, when he said still life, then I heard the word still alive. Because you ever watch a movie where they start out with the ending like that? Well, here I am. I'm about to die. But before I die, let me tell you my story. That's exactly how he did it right here. You can see that the blade is already gray and losing its life. And what it was used when it met up with this particular mask. But while there is a candle flickering, when that fire dies, so will the blade. And then the blade's soul will be transferred somewhere else for the next series. But then as he's telling you the story in the beginning, then the color changes and brings you to the storyline. And I love our colorist. He was able to use colors to bring emotion out and to know the transitions of what colors does when it matches what the story is telling you. But here are the Easter eggs. So the blade, once it realizes where it is, who it is, and what's going on, he talks about, man, when I was young, I was being used by these brothers. And they were training in this martial art that their own father was teaching them. Live blade, it's a cult. But as the story goes, you'll find out about the brothers because the martial art they do is very important. We were talking about the older brothers. This is the older brother right here. He's got a temper, right? And his younger brother is just very go with the flow, but very skilled. You'll find that out later on. But then he goes, but here's a little thing. Can you see the beginning? The older brother right there? You see his thumb? He's got a band-aid. He's already foretelling you who's the better of the practitioners about within the brothers. I'm like, are you kidding me? You put that in there. He goes, nothing in this comic book that he puts in is by accident. He is a man of the culture. He's very intuitive. He's got the foresight to tell a lot. For example, I'm a martial artist. He's not a practitioner. All the fight scenes we have here, I told him, I don't want to see Superman punch or Hulk smash. I want to see Filipino martial arts. So I recorded myself and my brother training and all the techniques we're doing. I sent it to him. He watched it over and over and over, and he captured it in here. And that's what I wanted to see, that they are true Filipino martial art movements in here. If you're a practitioner, you will recognize it.
That's pretty cool. And that's why it says you're like the choreographer of mm-hmm. the comic and the fight scenes, and using, because I know a lot of artists use, you know, reference material, and you being able to supply that reference is just amazing. But like you spend a few minutes talking about that, there is nothing better as a writer or a creator that's not an artist, like myself. I hired an artist to do my book. But getting those pages back of artwork, even the just sketchups, is just the most mm-hmm. amazing feeling in the world to see what you wrote on a piece of paper now coming back as an image. It's just unreal. Mm-hmm. And then you hold it in your hand, and like, I don't know, how'd you feel when you first got your book in your hand? Like, this is 4 days ago, 5 days ago. I was blown away, like being able to look at it in person. Like, it looks so much better. It's amazing.
Because we were part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things here is that when we were getting the sketches from our artists, the writers and myself, we look at the art, we look at it, we talk about it, and we say, what do you think of the way it's looking? Because it's great graphics, but does it fit the message we're trying to put through? And when you have more than one head seeing it, it's not biased.
Right.
Because I'll say, okay, here's a picture here. Now this one here, well, let's talk about the culture. Let's talk about the movement here. Let's talk about that. Or look at this. It doesn't make sense. No, we can't go it that way. Why? Because the story follows the way this was done and everything else. And we're all there talking about it. Yeah, well, let's change it to that. I had to correct the way the blade was held many times. I go, you're holding the blade wrong. This is the way it's supposed to be held, right? It looked great.
Right.
But the small things from my eyes, go, no, but he's holding the blade the wrong way.
Especially something like that. People would definitely catch up on, find that and call that out. I could definitely see that. How long did the process take from the writing to the getting the first issue?
Well, let's see. We announced it at San Diego Comic-Con. We released the comic book, the first issue, in New York Con.
Okay.
So a couple of months, 3 months,
yeah,
maybe.
Not bad. That's real quick.
We had, because the foundation of the story was already there.
Right.
It was just a matter of getting it to flow. And these guys are fast. I mean, but that's because once you see it and you understand it, it just flows.
Right.
Right? It doesn't, great work doesn't require a lot of work, hard work to make it sell. For me, it's all about the story. I don't care about action and all that. If the story sucks, the whole thing sucks. So I really had to have a very good story. And these guys just made it flow. They filled in the holes, because when I'm telling my story, oh, well, how convenient. You needed this and you just put it there and disappeared, right? No, Doug, we got to make it flow. We have to find the answer. Why is it plausible? How is it? Is that believable that it really will go that way? Then I got the inspiration of Comic-Con when I was in San Diego. Originally, this was about the cultish behavior, but the addition of the mask, that was something new. And I really appreciated when I was at San Diego Comic-Con and I saw cosplay. Then I started talking to some people and how passionate they are about the costumes and how the costumes change them and how the look and the different kinds of personalities that come out when they're hidden and that come out when there's no mask, and the skin that we have, how this is a mask. So that, I go, I want that, because this is about the cult, but now I'm putting it and adding the cult of cosplay into my storyline. And we're talking with the writers to go, remember how this was just about the cult of the blade? Yeah, not anymore. Now we're adding this facet, because this guy's wearing a mask. Why is he wearing a mask? We'll just make him show up like, hi, I happen to be a freak. I'm going to do this and wear a mask. No, there's got to be a reason why someone like this is wearing a mask. Let's explore that. It's a thriller. It's a psychological thriller.
What is one thing that you wish you knew before you started about making comics that you know now that you wish you knew in the beginning?
Huh. That I wish I knew. This has been a fun and great ride so far. I appreciate everything that is going on. So it's hard to say, especially because this isn't part. Oh, well, I wish I knew more about podcasts.
Ooh.
I wish I knew about reaching out to more people who are really loving it. I wish that I was more of a comic book reader. I have ADHD, so I don't read a lot of books. It's very hard for me, but comic books is faster. There are pictures. It's the same old joke, like, it's got pictures, Doug, then let me read it.
I have that same issue. I cannot pick up a novel and read it.
I
suck at it. But I'll read 100 comic books, you know?
Yes.
It's and crazy. And I actually got told the other day from a person I let read mine that he let his kid read it, and he was like, oh, my kid loved it because I have a lot of things jumping around and, it's like ADHD in the comic book. And he's like, this is like, I understand this. He's like, it was one of the first comic books his kid read that he's like, I truly get it and understand it because it's like me.
Isn't that amazing? That must be the most satisfying thing to know that I got the point across. You know, when I put it out there and people who read it, I begged them, please tell me what you read.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say anything. I want to know that I got my point across. And then now that they did, then I go, guess what? We've got a lot of Easter eggs out here. Lineage comic book, the way I have it. Okay, let's talk about Filipino martial arts. When we train this art, you're given a stick. Nobody fights with sticks. The stick is a metaphor of anything that you pick up. We look at the attributes. When I put something in front of you, I'll ask you, look, for example, if I were to say, okay, this is my tomahawk. Doesn't look much like a tomahawk, does it, when it's in this particular look?
Right.
Oh, okay, I get it. But let's also look at it from this point of view. How about from this point of view? Now, do you know it's got a little tip right there that you can use like a flathead screwdriver? Huh? But also, you got a gut hook here that you can use, or you can two-handed. The whole idea about the Filipino martial arts is that we teach you to see things beyond normal perception. It's a skill. That's why they go, oh, he's learning two knives, two sticks and everything. No, I am the weapon. Anything I pick up becomes a tool. This is knife-like to me because of the point, but it won't slash. So it's an impact weapon, but I can control. I can do a lot of things. You know, I give me a piece of toothpick, I can be deadly with it because I am the weapon. It's just a tool. But I can see the different uses. Now, I've taken that in the physical realm into the spiritual and emotional and intellectual realm of martial arts. It's not about how many you hurt. It's about how many you can protect. That's why I say it will kill, keep everyone alive. It's about being a better leader in your community, not a better fighter. It's not about comparing yourself to others, but trying to see how our differences make me better. And my commonalities, we celebrate together. That's the way the martial art life is. So I see these metaphors to make it work. The same thing I'm doing for my comic book. So that later on, when you read it, you will learn to read it with your own eyes, not mine. The first part is with my eyes. Second part are the Easter eggs. Third part I want you to say is your eyes. What do you mean by that? Okay. Can you look at this part right here, this right here? I want you to look at that and go, that reminds me of a book I had, my grandfather had that. And all of a sudden, you looked at this and you started imagining parts of this that are related to only your mind and your imagination. So much so when you take this to your grandchild and say, once upon a time, there was a guy and everything. And all of a sudden, they said, oh, here's a comic book. It's about these two guys. No. It's about my grandfather. And my grandfather had this because he's telling that. You know how I learned that? Because I was never read to as a child. Now, when I had my own kids, my wife read to my kids all these children's books. I didn't realize what that was all about. It's a sense of comfort to be read to when you're young. And the same story over and over again. When it was dad's time to read, I couldn't read new things. I had to make up stuff. I look at the pictures and I make, and they go, dad, that doesn't go that way. But well, yeah, but is it funny? Yeah. Is it great? Yeah. So that's my way of doing it. Yet I didn't appreciate that you had to stay with the story, but it was also a different way. Now, when my kids look at it, they have two sets of stories and mine keeps changing. So their imagination goes there. So this lineage can be passed on not only as Doug Marcaitis' lineage story and the writer's spirit and all this. But now my grandfather, when he read it to me and he was very creative, all the pictures here, the words, take it away. Just look at the artwork. And my grandfather came up with a different story. Come on. It teaches you more than what one way of looking at it is. That's what Filipino martial arts teaches you to do. So I'm trying to leave this behind, but be part of my journey. That's what I keep telling you. This is not about a comic book or owning all these gadgets. It's a movement. It's a way of looking at things. Join me.
That's incredible. I got to write this down.
You have a comic book like there, AJ. You should have a version of that without any words.
That's a great idea. I could do that.
And now we make the reader come up with
their own words. G.I. Joe did that last year. They did like a 6-issue run of silent missions, and there was no lettering at all in the whole book. And it was just pictures. You make it up kind of your own story or how the pictures can tell the story, right?
Yeah, it does. And, it does, right? And then you have a community that where you all get together and tell, okay, it's my turn for tonight. This is my story. Same book. This is what I mean about doing this lineage. People don't seem to understand that. They look at it from a very, we are so used to this marketing face value of just doing a Kickstarter and all this. It's more than that.
It's community. It's community and lineage. I love that. It's exactly. Got to pass it on. That's something I've tried to do with my kid. I know I've already said that, but that's it really brings it up because I do try to. In the short period of time that I had my father, I learned a lot from him, and it gave me an appreciation, I think, even after I lost my father, to sit and listen to elderly people, you know, that have a story to tell about life and history, and I'm a history buff too, so you learn so much from the people that are just, like, I love just walking down the street and seeing just a guy sitting on the bench and just sit down and talk to him, just to hear the story.
You know, I very much, I just recently lost my father-in-law, who was like my hero. And I took care of him for the last 3 years because he was going through chemo. And it was a blessing an honor to take care of him because he took care of us when I was working and doing. I'm able to do what I did to what I do because when I had to leave to do seminars around the world, when I had to do it, he was the one who came home and spent time with my boys and took him to Boy Scouts and everything else. So I got to take care of him. But here's the thing. Recently, I was in the Villages in Florida, a retirement community, and I met so many people in their 80s. You know, it was shocking because they're so active. But everyone used to, I met CEOs of companies. I met retired generals, full bird colonels, some people who were in the special forces. And these were just a shell of themselves physically, but the wealth of gold hidden inside them. And it's lost. They say lost in translation. It's lost in who they are because their physical bodies aren't there anymore. So they're limited by that. But the gold of wealth of knowledge, I'm like, why are, and when they're, and they are just begging to tell their story.
Correct.
Because they want to relive that. And I'm like, why don't we have a program where we have these kids who are lost without parents to guide them, without people in the community to give them the future who've already experienced it? Why can't we make them connect? These guys love to talk and would love to. And these need that knowledge and bring them. We should have the regular thing, adopt a grandpa or grandpa adopt a grandkid and let them sit and talk. Let me tell you what it is to be a CEO or a builder, a scientist or a doctor and all these things. Let me share with you my life story. Then the kids will be given a hint of this is not all that there is. There are good things in
it. That's the key. That's what drives me with my kids. Now, I have a 23-year-old or 24-year-old and an 11-year-old. And I've always been, I live in a very small town in eastern North Carolina. And I'm like, there is more to this world than this town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we went to Michigan to print this comic book, like, I took my daughter to DC, like we ran around the town, you know, all day on a Sunday, you know, just to show her, take her to Michigan. I've taken her out west, take her, you know, we go a lot of places, but just to show them there's more to this world than this town and the BS around this town. Like, go see,
you know,
the world.
That's why I wish everyone has to, like in Europe, serve their country in a service, right, at least 10 years after high school. Why? Because it pulls you away from whatever community you have and give you a chance on other things. I attest to this. When I was in the Air Force, one of my buddies there, he was a gangster. And he got caught doing crazy stuff. And the judge said, Juvie Hall or Air Force? He chose Air Force. He was a nursing assistant then when we were there. Every weekend, he'd be reading and telling me another homie got killed again and all that. Today, he's a doctor. See that? It saved him. Why? Because sometimes there is such a thing as a vicious cycle. If all your friends are into drugs and you live in a world where there is nothing, there's no way to get out there. This is the way of life. It's not going to change. Having a chance to be pulled away from that and put somewhere else where you're no longer connected and you see, oh, this is a different world. And you're given a second chance at seeing things. That's what every one of us to do, and it gives us a chance to serve our country. So I wish that I wish this for everyone that they would do that. I am nothing but thankful for my service.
What got you into the Air Force?
As I'm an immigrant here, I felt a sense of racism, that taking jobs away or immigrant running. So I said, I'm going to join the service and serve this country. So I earned my right, so that no one will ever, ever question my right to be in this country. So I worked for it.
Hey, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. What did you do in the Air Force?
First, I was in logistics, and then I cross-trained into the medical field, respiratory therapy. That's
respiratory,
where I got my
degree. And that's when you went on to do that, and then you martial arts, and then the Forge of Fire stuff. How did that come about?
They were looking for an end user. They saw my videos online. And they needed someone who could wield weapons, and that's how they found me.
Very cool. And so you became a judge.
Something I love. Are you kidding me?
Right? You get paid for it, right? You get to play with, you know, weapons all day that people just made. That's always
amazing.
Fascinated me too, just the whole forging. And I'd love to try that one day. One day I'll get there. Well, I've got some fun questions, but before we get into that, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to talk about? The last thing I want to do.
Push people to the Kickstarter,
yep,
right?
For sure.
To the Kickstarter, just look for Lineage. And I'm telling you, we have a lot of add-ons. All these things that you saw will be part of that. We also have some other add-ons like this Lineage Kali stick that we train with. It'll say Lineage got the artwork. If we're able to get to a certain level, this particular blade here, we're going to be putting some comic book lasering work right on it. So you'll have something. But like I said, my imagination just keeps on giving and giving and giving. And I want to be part of it. But first, I got to hit my goal. Otherwise, none of it's going to happen.
How close are you to the goal?
I'm sorry?
How close are you to the goal?
We're close. I think we need about $3,000 more. But, you know, we were at 7. We were asking for 10. But I'm saying is just be part of it and then see it grow. I'm telling you right now, folks, you will not be disappointed. You know, in my martial arts seminars that I teach, I am confident of what I do. And I always say, look, come to my seminar. If you can do at the end of my seminar what I do better than me or just as good as I do it, then the seminar is free. That's how confident I am. Now, I told Kids Heroes, like, look, if you see where we're going with this, you read the story, and then you read the rest of the story, because the issue one is just the beginning. It's just setting the pace, right? And if you don't like it, it's free. And they go, hell no, that's a bad business model. But I'm like, no, I believe in it. And I go, and I ask him, how about you? Well, we believe in it. Yeah, we're all part of it. I'm like, no, you weren't part of it in the beginning.
Right.
After I told you, you realize it's a great story. You want to be part of it. But that's how confident I am. But he goes, well, it's not a good way to do business. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
Well, I will definitely check it out and I'll have it in the links below. Are you going to be doing, you said you had like 6 days left?
Yeah, I believe we have 6 days. Okay. Monday, I think, is the last day. So
are you going to have late pledges if it
funds? Oh, yeah. I don't know how this works. I just want to make sure that everyone I know close to me, I already called them and they're like, look, get your name in this.
Right.
Look, put it this way. It's supposed to be a TV show. It is an inception. Wouldn't you want a comic book signed by me and be part of this and then realize that you caught it while in its inception?
Inception.
I know how good it is. And you can just blame me. It's not asking for a lot of money. You can blame it on me later on. I'll come through.
There you go.
I'm confident about this.
I will definitely check it out, and I'll have it in the show notes when I get this episode out.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe you or your great grandkids will pick up the realm and be part of Lineage and tell the Lineage story when we're gone.
Exactly. They'll be inspired that I wrote a comic book, and they'll be like, all right, he wrote one. I can write one, too. Let's jump on the Lineage train.
Do you like stories? Did you like the story? I'm sure you'll fall in love with some of the characters and say, I want to bring this back, or I want this to continue this way, or I want to... It happens that way.
That's amazing. Awesome. Well, let's jump into these questions. Did you have a favorite? Who was your first favorite, like, superhero or comic book character?
My favorite is Batman.
Man, I love...
Because he always wears black. I work in black or dark gray.
Right.
Or like Lego Batman. But he's one of the guys that uses his brain. He doesn't have any superpowers, but he's got the mind. And that, to me, is amazing. I don't have to rely on or brawn or anything else.
That's right. Do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
I'm going back to the ones I found read. I think Richie Rich. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I forgot about Richie Rich until just now. That's amazing. I read Richie Rich as a kid. If you could live in a comic book universe, maybe you already do, what would you choose?
Comic book. Well, if there's a comic book of the Bible, I'd like to be in the Bible. I'd like to meet Christ, my Savior.
There's an action Bible. I got my kid that's like a comic Bible.
It's and I'd like to be there.
It is
that's
really
where I'd
cool.
like to be.
It's like a great introduction to the Bible, right, for the kids.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And for me, too, because...
Easy to read.
the Bible's a lot of reading. If you could have a superpower, what would you have? What would you choose? You already have it. You're a martial artist. That's a superpower. That's a Batman superpower.
The ability to make people be kind.
All right. I love that. That's needed.
Yep. Can't go wrong with that.
That's right. If you could have a comic book character as your personal sidekick, who would you choose? Could be any character.
That's a personal sidekick. I don't know. I never thought about a personal sidekick, except, nope, don't want Rob, and he bugs me. Superman.
What's your, do you have a current series that you read? Comic
Not
series?
right now.
Not
I
right
am
now.
so bogged down right now with so much projects,
Yeah.
but I will. I've gotten actually a couple of story recommendations that I want to get into, and in due time, I will fall into that.
Absolute Batman's really good.
Yeah.
All right, this is the last one. This is a good one. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
I'm gonna be a comic title be It Will Kill.
It will kill.
Kill. So
Kill.
that's
Okay.
my
Yeah,
famous
the
tagline from Forged in Fire, which means
Yep.
keep everyone always laughing.
I love that. I thought for sure you'd say lineage. 'Cause that's a good one too. I mean, that should be everybody's, pass on the
Go-to.
information from generation, to generation and learn. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this. I really
Well,
do
thank you for
appreciate it.
having me.
It's been amazing. I would love to have you come back when you get issue 2 or 3 or 4 or 10. You
Absolutely.
know,
We can
we'll
do it. I'd love to come back and once the rest are done and go through all these Easter eggs.
Yes.
I had the writers write something special about their life and give it to to our artists. I go, put stuff in there. Don't tell us. Let us find it ourselves.
I like that.
Yeah, it makes it meaningful to us.
Yeah, the Easter eggs
Later
are
on.
always fun.
Yeah, and then later on, as we create this, books 10, 12, 30, who knows? Our own audience here will start putting stuff in there for them.
That's right. That's the coolest thing is doing the Easter eggs, and like my artist put several in there. And one of the other cool things I did was I put, part of my story is set inside a comic shop. So in the comic shop, you got a wall of comics, right? So I, instead of using just like, generic superhero stuff, I used people that I interviewed with their permission. I used their covers. So like all
Nice.
these covers in my book are people that I've interviewed.
I
So
love
their
that.
work
See,
lives in
there you
my
go.
book. So I thought that was cool. It's like an homage and a lineage thing, right?
Yeah,
So
a part of you, a true part of you is in there.
exactly. So, it's been, I don't know, I thought it was a cool way to give back and to the community. But thank you so much for joining. I
My
really
pleasure.
do. It was great having you, and we'll definitely have you back on.
All right. Thank you all.
We don't just talk about comics. We made one.
And it's called The Chronicles of Pam Feet.
At Talking Comics, we interview creators, show off our comic calls,
play fun games, and show what we're learning firsthand.
Get a free peer review of The Chronicles of Panel P by subscribing to our Substack.
Watch the trailer and all the video episodes on YouTube.
Or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow along, like, subscribe.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.